This podcast is brought to you by the Dutch Cycling Embassy.
We must reshape our streets and not have a highway in the center of the city that brings thousands and thousands of thousands of cars every day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Kloppenburg Podcast, which is always dealing with the questions, how can we keep metropolitan areas accessible in a sustainable way? My name is Geert Kloppenburg. I've got around about 17 years of experience on mobility. And today we are broadcasting from Dublin. Dublin, we're at the Velo City. And who have I got on the table?
Christoph Najdowski.
Okay, very well. And what do you do?
Well, I do some things about cycling. I'm deputy mayor in Paris, in charge of transportation and public space, and also president of DCF, the European Cyclists Federation.
Yeah, cool. I've done some research on you, and I saw around about 3 hours of you on YouTube, and you were doing so many things in Paris on making the city more accessible. And I only wanted to talk about one little piece you do. Of course, we know the extraordinary thing you guys are doing with the metro system, expanding it to the greater area of Paris already. You're closing down the tram.
Yes, the tram.
That, we're not going to talk about that, but it's a brilliant thing. I wanted to talk about reshaping the most famous streets in the world, the Champs-Élysées, the Rue de Rivoli. What is your plan on the cycling? You want to get a lot of cycling infrastructure in, and I've been in Paris many times. My mother studied there, and I'm like curious, what are your plans with the streets, the world famous streets of Paris? That's what I wanted to talk about. Is that okay?
Yeah.
What is your plan?
We have the conviction that the city of the 21st century can be the same as it was on the last century, on the past, at the 20th century.
Yep.
So reshaping the streets and the cities must be at our agenda. We can't have the situation left by decades and decades of having car-oriented cities and streets and just letting the things like that. We must also share the public space, give it more space to the public transportation, cyclists, pedestrians.
What is a street where you think, okay, that's where you see in Paris the biggest problems and that's where you want to solve it?
If I have one street, is the Parc des Rives de Seine. So it's the former highway.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. We know the great example of near
the right bank of the Rives de Seine.
Yeah. That's the brilliant story that you changed already.
Yes.
That used to be a car.
This is the most symbolic part of our work this last year, because it is a former highway. There were 43,000 cars by day on this highway.
Yep, passing
by. And
now
it's a pedestrian street. So it was difficult to implement this decision. It was a big controversy, I'll say. Also,
yeah, I wanted to ask that, like, how difficult was to get over the resistance? You did it already 5 years ago. How long is his life, or is it only 3 years life?
Yes, it's a 3 or 4 years discussion, because the final decision of the court was given last week.
Yeah?
In favor of the pedestrianization.
Congratulations. But,
yes, thank you. The discussion and the consultation of the population started in 2015, so it's 4 years.
Were you in office then already?
Yeah.
So you worked on this project?
Yes. But it is also a conviction of the fact that we must reshape our streets and not have a highway in the center of the city that brings thousands and thousands of thousands of cars every day.
So can you give other examples of, this is a very famous one, or other examples of things you've already done to streets where they are typical? Because I was there last time and I was also surprised. I thought, oh, there's another cycling lane.
The Champs-Élysées, for example, because a few years ago it was unimaginable that we have a cycle lane and a bike lane on the Champs-Élysées. Because it is a patrimony street, and
yes.
We had the opposition of some architects from the state that were saying us, you should not touch to the Champs-Élysées, you should keep them like that. So it was a very hard, long discussion, but with conviction, we arrived to make this thing real.
And from the public space point of view, from, let's say, for instance, the Champs-Élysées, that we all talk about the bigger streets entering L'Étoile, the Arc de Triomphe. But in the public space, let's say, for example, the Champs-Élysées, you got the bike lane in, but did you get a car lane out there, or did you get room out from the pedestrians?
We are removing one lane from the cars and giving...
And the strange thing is always there are no lanes there.
For the cyclists.
Yeah, okay, but the space for the cars is less?
Is less wide, so it's more narrow. For example, on the Champs-Élysées, instead of having four lanes, we have just three lanes now for the cars.
So, and is the bicycle lanes, is it totally free, or there are also for kiss and rides coming in Ubers and taxis, and they're coming over the bicycle lane?
No, it's just for the cyclists.
It's okay.
Yes, it's separated. For example, what we want is that a woman or a child can drive on the Champs-Élysées on his own. So that is also our goal.
I can remember then I'm driving up the Champs-Élysées, I enter the Arc de Triomphe, and then you got that world famous street plan, of course, of Paris. You've got all those boulevards entering. Are you getting into cycling lanes on all the different big streets?
Yes, at the gates of the city, yeah.
That enter Arc de Triomphe, the L'Étoile, you're all entering, or are they already there yet, or you're doing this at this moment?
We are doing a circle around the Place de l'Étoile to bring also the possibility not to cross the square itself, because it's too difficult.
Yes.
There is too much traffic, but to give the possibility to the cyclists to go around. And we will have a second possibility, because we have a tunnel. It was a tunnel for cars that we closed a few years ago. And by this summer, we will open it just for the cyclists.
And so you can drive under the Arc de Triomphe?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I will be there.
I
take the TGV from Amsterdam. And how are you working on the little streets?
So the plan for the small streets is to have contraflow lanes for the bikes. So the car drives only in one way.
Yes.
But the bike is allowed to drive on both ways. And we reduce the speed limit to 30 kilometers, so you can drive with your bike. You see the car arriving in front of you, and you can also calm and reduce the speed of the cars.
And
so
it's
safe also for the people who are using their bikes.
Yes.
And you don't have to go around all the street. You can just go ahead.
Yep.
And you have the right to do that.
Okay, cool. And in the smaller streets, do you also want to make space for biking lanes there as well? If you say, no, there's not enough room there, or you say, I want to get rid of some parking lots there, or do you get the full resistance then of the Parisian people that want to park their car in the public space?
What we see now is that there are resistances, but there are also people who want us to go further. It's not so difficult now to remove parking spaces for cars and to give the priority to bike lanes. Maybe 5 or 10 years ago, it was a different story, but now it is easier, as we have also the rate of motorization of people who is decreasing. Year after year, we have less and less people who own a car. In Paris, there are just 36% of people who own a car. And this percentage is decreasing every year.
So how easy is it, if I would live in Paris, to get a permit to park my car on the public street? Is it?
So it is more and more expensive to own a car.
No.
So a lot of people told us that after several years, they thought that, okay, they were just giving up their car, and they sold it, and they don't buy another one. Instead of that, they are taking bikes. So you have also this kind of individual change of behavior of people, and they approve.
How do you overcome the resistance? How do you get the support of the local people? How did you do this on a very political, high, sensitive subject as removing car lanes in Paris or removing car parking lots?
The awareness in the populations of the question of the air pollution, climate change, the need that we have to change our behavior, this awareness is really increasing. and especially these last months or these last years. So the resistance exists, but it is lower and lower. And we have more and more people saying us now, we want also radical changes, and that you should go faster than what you're actually currently doing. So we have also this kind of social demand from the people of being more radical even than what we are doing already. So it is also, I would say, a chance for us to go forward and to implement new policies about reshaping streets.
Cool. And reshaping streets is also about parking, not only parking of the cars, but parking of the, let's say, many, many scooters, of course, many motorcycles in Paris, and more and more bikes. Because the lack of space is so big in Paris, it's such a big city, where do you think the bikes should be left? Are you trying to move them underground? Or do you say, no, we want to have them parked on the pavement?
The parking on the surface should be just for pedestrians, cycling, delivery, and shared mobility, but not for individual cars. I think that the individual cars should all be in the parking that are underground, because we don't have enough space for all.
But do you think you have to take those same kinds of measurements also on the two-wheelers? Because do you have to take the same kind of policy measures not only for the cars but also for the two-wheelers, getting them also below level? Because otherwise you've got these beautiful boulevards fully with two-wheelers, bicycles, you know what I mean?
The question is that in Paris there is a specificity, because the state allowed to the car owners of a car, to the drivers who have a license to drive, they allowed them to drive motorcycles. And there was an explosion of the number of motorcycles, because instead of driving cars, they are driving motorcycles. The problem is that the parking is free. And until it will be free, you will have them a lot on the surface. I wanted, as a candidate at the last elections, to make it
paying
not
for
free.
Yes, that will
but
be
the
hard.
The mayor had an agreement with the organization of motorcyclists, and she could do that. But I know that for the next mandate, she will be committed to make them pay the price of the parking. And with that measure, I think that we will have a small number of motorcyclists.
Yeah, I understand.
On the streets.
I wanted to ask about your bike sharing system, Philippe. Do you still think, if you're thinking ahead in 5 years or 10 years' time, do you think you will see still docking stations in Paris, or you think this will be free floating, and we will have policies that they are not allowed to all park their sharing bike things on the Champs-Élysées, because we all can imagine that we don't want that, or near Centre Pompidou. But do you think you will still have docking stations?
I think that we need both, that we have dockless and with docks bike sharing systems. Because Velib works, we have about 80,000 uses by day, so it's not a small number. And every day each bike is used by six or seven times, so that works. But that is also a heavy usage. As the number of bikes are used is increasing, you have more and more of them who are broken, and so you have also to improve your management.
And what I heard when I was on the streets,
but it works.
Yeah, it works.
It is working.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Yeah, I understand. But I said that the concession time was over or not over, and maybe the government will do a new concession, and that, let's say, I'll get to my question, that is it, can they make a business case of it, that it's profitable, or do you see in, like, for example, New York or in Paris, that still the government needs to pay money to get these systems, to keep them up and running?
You have two systems. The free floating system is just a private system. Maybe it is profitable for the company who runs the project, but the problem is that you will never find them if you are in a suburb or in the poorest region, because it is working where you have a lot of companies, so in the good parts of the city.
Yes.
But the difference with Velib is that it is a service, a public service, and we are implementing it
all over the place.
All over the territories and also in the suburbs. So, and also with a social price. For example, if you subscribe to Velib, it will cost you just 3 euros per month, and you have the 30 first minutes free of use.
So you will keep on doing that.
But if you take a jump, for example, bike by you Uber,
yes,
it will cost you just 5 euros for a 30 minutes use. So yep, it's not the same, and it's not the same public.
Yep, very clear. And on the private part, the free floating bicycles, of course, we've seen the Chinese coming into cities and they just throw everything at the public street and they just say, okay, go along. You see many more cities that say, okay, yes, we want to have those free floating systems, but not that we put all the different sharing, free-floating, let's say in the center of Amsterdam, on the Dam or at the Champs-Élysées. What kind of measurements or policies do you take from the government point of view towards these new free-floating systems? Or haven't you installed any rules yet?
First, they pay a fee to the local authority.
Yep.
Second, you have mandatory parking spaces to put your bikes,
yes,
because the problem of the free floating, and we have the same problem with the e-scooters, is that when you have the pure free floating system, they are spread all over the sidewalks and the people are bored,
yeah,
of that,
yeah,
and they are getting hostile to,
yep,
to,
and they're throwing them into the, yes, canals or the rivers,
so,
or whatever.
So what we are looking for is to make them parked in mandatory spaces, and then we will have a semi-floating system, which will be acceptable for from the people.
Let's go to the suburbs. And I'm interested because the cycling is in some cities, I don't say all of the cities, very much a white man thing. It's a white man thing of, let's say, 40 years old. Do you see in the suburbs or where the people are poor and where black, red, all the different colors of the world in international metropolitan cities live? Do you see the cycling coming up in the greater area of Paris?
So you should have a bottom-up policy and work with the citizens. It should be also a part of a public local policy about inclusion of every kind of people. So these are also the limits of just a top-down approach. Of course, there are also different categories of citizens, and in some suburbs, for example, the car remains a symbol of success.
Yes,
and people
are
preferring having a car than,
yep,
a bike.
Yep.
So you have to work with the citizens with a local approach, I think.
Thanks a lot. I'm really looking forward. I'm coming to your place. I'm taking the TGV from Amsterdam towards Paris. And when does this cycling tunnel under the Arc de Triomphe? And I'm taking my microphones with
me. By the end of September, so you're welcome.
We meet in Paris. Thanks a lot for joining
us.
Thank you. Cheers.